This is the Neverwinter Nights podcast for December 8th, 2006. This is episode 5. Welcome to the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series. I'm Jay Smith, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda, and today joining me is Trey, a.k.a. Ashercon Zilu.
Hey, let's get this show started, eh?
Eh? Hey? Well, let's do that. This week's top stories are Neverwinter Nights 2 version 1.3 English hotfix is released, the Neverwinter Nights patch 1.69, which is scheduled for January, or is it?
There's a new Neverwinter Nights 2 trailer that's been released. We'll talk about that a little bit. Also over at Rogue Dial Studios, they've released a new trailer for their Purgatorio campaign for Neverwinter Nights 2.
And this week we got a new segment called Neverwinter Nights Tips. This week's going to be for Neverwinter Nights 2 on how to remove the intro movies. And we will also be featuring the Saga Project as this week's mod spotlight. But before we get into the spotlight, let's talk about that trailer that was released, Trey.
Yeah, we received a new trailer from Neverwinter Nights 2. I've checked it out, and it's actually pretty slick. So if you're listening out there, get a chance to go check it out. You can find it on the Vault. We'll also put a link to the one that's on the Vault in our show notes.
Yeah, I actually watched it too, and it's an extended version of the other one, and it's got a lot of it's really cool. Too bad the game doesn't look like the trailer in every aspect, because then it would really be awesome. But
it had a lot more.
Still a good trailer.
It had a lot more shots of the cities, cityscapes, and things. A lot more so than the first one that they put out. Kind of gave you a little bit more variety, I thought.
We got information from the Rogue Dial Studios. You said they released at their trailer, so there's a Purgatorio campaign for Neverwinter Nights 2. Just a little bit about that. I'll cover a couple points, and Trey can jump in here and cover some too. They're saying that's a rich 15-hour single-player story featuring dozens of side quests, interactive NPC party members, and opportunities for roleplay and intense combat.
Yeah, I went to the link that they sent us and to watch the trailer, and actually had to download a codec before I could watch it.
Yeah, if you want to go get that, it does require the DivX codec, so you'll have to get that.
I did also reply back to them and asked them to, you know, get on our website and send us back a recording, you know, telling about their new module, and we'll include it in a future show. So hopefully they'll do that.
I look forward to seeing this as more of these modules start getting close to release. Like, we should get more announcements, and we'll try our best to keep you guys updated on that. I know last week we talked about the version 103 beta patch. Well, guess what, guys? They've hotfixed that and released it to everybody. So if you
really
go hit your update, it'll download the 103 patch. And it's got all the stuff we talked about it. I looked through the patch notes that come down, and you guys should do that. If you get a new patch and you get it on there, you should go into your game directory. There will be a file in there called patch_notes_v and then the version number .rtf, and it'll list out everything that just got updated, changed, or fixed. And a lot of the stuff we talked about last week is in here. I haven't had a chance to go through it, line by line, to see if there's any additional stuff in there. But it has been released. You guys have probably already got it and hopefully enjoying the benefits of a new patch game.
Stanley Wu of BioWare posted on December 6th a thread about the 1.6 patch for the original campaign.
Well, I was looking at one that was from December 8th by Derek French, who's the technical producer for BioWare.
Oh, yeah.
And he was answering a question and said, I read somewhere that 1.69 will be out before the end of the year, being in 2006. And then the guy asked, is this true? And he goes, no, there's just not enough time in the schedule. And it looks like it's January 2007 or maybe February. And another post into that same thread, Derek French again said that they're expecting 1.69 to be the final BioWare patch for the original Neverwinter Nights game. So I don't know if that means that there will be others put together by other teams, or if someone else is going to be able to pick up the support or patching of that, or BioWare, if it's basically saying, we're done with Neverwinter Nights, with the original.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even know there was a 1.69 in the works until I saw this thread that I was just mentioning from Stanley Wu, where he says, all requests for 1.69 features belong in the 1.69 request thread in their forums.
Yeah, I didn't.
So that's when I thought, oh, there.
I remember seeing it on the patch list when we downloaded 1.68, and because I just rebuilt or just built this new gaming machine that I've got, I had to go download that hotfix to fix Neverwinter Nights' original game so that I could actually get the updater to work, and it showed 1.69 as out there as scheduled, but it didn't show anything beyond that.
Hey, role players and Neverwinter addicts. This is ASO, English consultant and PR of the Saga Project team. Our project, Saga, the Fangai Schism, is set in a completely unique campaign setting created by lead developer Fumiga. Our goal is to make our Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world a friendship-based roleplay community with dedicated dungeon masters, engaging plotlines, beautiful landscapes, and great systems for our players, including crafting, activity points, a new death system, and a whole lot more. Our team currently consists of 6 dedicated staff members, but we have several positions open, including scripting and detail building. Saga is still under heavy construction, and we're planning to release on December 2nd. For more information on available positions and the world of Saga, visit us at our website, www.sagathian.com. That's SAGATHIAN.com.
Let's take a look at what's new in the communities. Original Neverwinter Nights updates for Torn Asunder by Easily Amused. That's a module-related release, and they're after much hemming and hawing, bug fixing, and time crunching, Team Easily Amused is finally proud to release the next version of Torn Asunder. The CCP, that's the custom creature content, or custom creature project. Yeah, that's hard to say. Got their latest release out there for any of you modders who are looking for new creatures to add to your module. There's also, if you're Spanish-speaking, they've got a new link to a interview there. It's by Dlan. I hope that said that right. D-L-A-N, Dlan. And then the Leprechaun Giant Slug Race at the CCP. I haven't read into that one yet, but I'm definitely going to have to see what the Leprechaun Giant Slug Race is.
Also in Neverwinter Nights 2 community news, ThievesGuild.net, they have a complete item ID database that contains all plot items, armor, weapons, books, jewelry, etc. The Silver Marches project is seeking help with building scripting DMs and a webmaster for their website. So if anybody's interested in that, you should go check out them. Also, Team Ladrock is looking for help. That stands for Life and Death Realms of
Carthusa.
Life and Death Realms of Carthusa. Carthusa.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Carthusa.
Yeah. So they have openings for positions. Mythos 2, The Legend Returns, is proud to announce that they're moving over to Neverwinter Nights 2.
With a live beta.
And also, Sundren is seeking area designers and and builders, our buddy over there, Sundren. Last week we talked about the concepts of dice, character class overviews, and ability scores. So this week we're going to touch on hit points, armor and armor class, classes also known as AC, levels, and skills. So let's jump right in, Jay. What do you say?
Let's do it.
You got some skills, huh?
Yeah, well, maybe thinking Napoleon Dynamite. I got skills, I got nunchuck skills, I got hit point skills.
Hit points. The term hit points refers to your health. Your hit points are a number that decreases as you are damaged in combat or by traps. When your hit points reach zero, you are unconscious. I've been unconscious a few times.
I've been in that state several times.
If you and all your companions have been knocked unconscious, the game is over.
Duh.
I don't remember the game being over. We would usually, you know, respawn or something. Lose like thousands and thousands of points.
Oh, yeah.
And XP, which we'll get to in here in a second. XP, by the way. Your maximum hit points, which are affected by your constitution modifier, are how many hit points you have when you are fully healed. Your hit points will fluctuate often as you play. Your hit points will fluctuate often as you play, as you'll take damage in combat and then heal your wounds. Your maximum hit points will increase as you keep playing and become more powerful. You might begin with a maximum of 10 hit points and finish with well over 100.
I've never gotten any of my characters to have hit points more than like 50, I don't think.
I think my character that's in the original campaign has 83.
Really?
He's like level 10.
I have to go check
and,
that out.
And when we were in playing and run, my fighter, I think he had over 100. He was level 30.
Maybe I'm thinking AC, which I'll cover now and just maybe answer my own question here.
I think you're thinking AC.
Yeah, armor and armor class, or more commonly just called AC. Armor class is a number that represents the quality of your protection from physical attacks, especially at the beginning of your career. Armor class is affected mostly by what armor you're wearing and whether or not you are using a shield. An unarmored person has an armor class of 10. Higher numbers represent better armor. Normal armor provides a bonus from 1 padded through 8 plate mail.
No, full plate.
Full plate, yeah. Normal armor provides a bonus of 1 padded through 8 of full plate. A heavily armored fighter might have an armor class of 20. Armor class values above 30 are exceptional and very rare.
Yeah,
spells and magical armor and items can improve your armor class. Your dexterity modifier also affects this important statistic, though heavy armor can prevent you from getting the maximum benefit from your dexterity. Now, I've had that problem in my character in Everyone Else 1 on our persistent world when we play in Rune, that I'm a paladin, and I had certain feats, or, you know, like the high levels of dexterity, and certain feats don't work well if you're wearing heavier armor, because it the weight counteracts that.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of like real life. And I think my character right now is like a 24 AC. And I've had as high as 28 on my fighter before. But this is right, I've never seen above 30.
Yeah, I'm not, I haven't either.
Oh wait, did I see above 30 once? No, maybe I didn't. Next we'll talk about level. The term level can mean many things in D&D. It generally refers to how powerful or advanced something is. One of your main goals is to increase your character level. You might begin the game as a level 1 or first level barbarian, for example, and by the end of the game you might be close to level 20. Usually when you hear the term level, this is what that means. Experience. Whenever you defeat a monster or complete a quest, you gain experience points, which are abbreviated as XP. The number of experience points you have determines your level. When you acquire enough experience points, you will level up, which means your level increases by 1. That's why when you hear us say, get in game and level up, That's where that comes from. When this happens, you can choose which class you advance in and select new skills and other abilities.
When you first create your character, you'll be level 1 in a single class, such as Barbarian. Every time you level up, you can choose which class your level will be in. So when you reach level 2, you might decide to learn some spells and become a first level Barbarian and a first level Wizard. That's called multiclassing. Multiclassing can be fun, but it can also make your character weaker depending on your choices. Each class has different abilities, and they don't always overlap well. For example, though Barbarians can wear armor to protect themselves, Wizards have trouble casting spells while wearing that protection. So your Barbarian Wizard combination has to choose whether he wants to wear armor or easily cast spells. Perhaps not the best combination. On the other hand, a Barbarian Fighter could be a powerful combination. Both are strong in melee combat, but they approach it in different ways. The Fighter generally has more tactical options than the Barbarian, while the Barbarian has more brute power. Combining these classes can create a character with a unique fighting style.
If you want to be a powerful spellcaster, like a cleric, druid, wizard, sorcerer, or warlock, multiclassing might not be the best option. Instead, concentrate on your spellcasting class and consider an appropriate prestige class later. And we'll get into prestige classes later in our conversations.
Great tip there.
Multiclassing has one more important limitation. If you ever have multiple classes that are more than one level apart, you will suffer an XP penalty. Oh, crap, I didn't know that. So that explains...
So if you want a multi-class, you want to start doing multi-classing from the beginning.
Which I did. I started out as a rogue, and then I switched to a sorcerer, but I just left my rogue at like level 2 and taken my sorcerer up to level 10. So that's, I'm actually suffering for doing that. Is that correct? Is that the way I read that?
Now you're suffering along with the rest of us.
For example, if you're a third level barbarian and a first level fighter, you will gain 20% fewer XP than you would if you were a second level in each. Huh. So because I'm a second level rogue / 10th level sorcerer, I'm gaining fewer XP.
Sounds like it.
No wonder it's taking so long. Prestige classes never count toward determining your XP penalty. And I know, I bet there's some long-time D&D players out there going, oh, I can't believe these guys don't know this stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you live and learn.
Yep. Another good concept is favored class. Each race has a favored class. Your favored class is not counted when determining this XP penalty. For example, if you are a human, favored class is any. Half-elf is any. Half-orc, the favored class is barbarian. Or dwarf, it's a fighter. Your third level barbarian, first level fighter, would not suffer that XP penalty because it's his favorite class. So if you plan to multi-class, you would probably want one of your classes to be the favorite class of your race.
Spells also have levels, ranging from level 0 spells or cantrips, which are minor tricks with little combat application, to level 9 spells, which can alter reality in astounding ways.
I think I've been hit by some of those level 9 spells, and they've altered my reality.
Spun you around a couple of times, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Made you unconscious, like we were talking about earlier?
Yep. Pushed me to the fugue plane and other places where I didn't really want to go.
Okay, your class level is your level in a specific class, such as fighter. Your character level is the sum of all your class levels. So if you have a second level barbarian, second level fighter, your character level is 4, while your barbarian and fighter class levels are each 2. So a 10th level paladin and a 5th level rogue / 5th level wizard both have a character level of 10, meaning, among other things, that they will both require the same amount of XP to reach level 11. Interesting.
Skills represent the individual areas of practical knowledge you possess. These are in addition to the base abilities of your class and race and serve to further customize and differentiate one character from another. While some skills are simply used automatically, most do not automatically yield success. Two things contribute to your chances: your expertise in the skill and the difficulty of what you are trying to accomplish. A skill check is made when you apply a skill to a task. Your skill ranks and bonuses are added to a random number between 1 and 20. This skill check results in a success if it equals or exceeds the difficulty class, or DC, of the task.
For example, consider a rogue with a plus 14 bonus in open lock. When you try to pick a simple lock with a DC of 15, the rogue will always succeed. His skill check will be as low as 15, 1 plus 14, and as high as 34, 20 plus 14. If he comes across a very complicated lock, however, that is DC 35, it will be impossible for him to succeed until he somehow increases his open lock bonus. Sometimes when you use a skill, you are directly competing with a monster or another character. In these cases, you make an opposed skill check. The DC is not a fixed number, but a skill check made by your opponent. For example, when you use the hide skill to conceal yourself, the DC of your attempt is determined by a spot check by any enemy trying to locate you. If the enemy has a spot check bonus of plus 7, then the DC you must beat with your hide is between 8 and 27, a random number between 1 and 20 plus 7. You got to beat it with your hide.
And when there's no penalty or for failure and no enemies nearby, you are assumed to attempt the task repeatedly until you achieve the perfect result. In these cases, you take 20, and instead of a random number between 1 and 20, you automatically get a 20. For example, if the rogue mentioned above tries to pick a lock when no enemies are nearby, he will succeed so long as the locked DC is 34 or less.
Okay, now we'll talk about ranks, which are related to skills. Skill ranks are purchased with skill points, which are awarded both at character creation and at each level up. Every skill has a rank from 0, no training, to 23, maximum ranks for a 20th level character. Ranks are added to every check made with a skill, so the more ranks a character has, the better his skill checks will be. Some skills, such as open lock, cannot even be attempted if you have 0 ranks in it. Such skills are referred to in this manual as specialized. Skills that do not require ranks are called general skills.
Your race, class, feats, and ability scores can all provide bonuses to your skills, above and beyond your actual skill choices. But no matter how many other bonuses your character may have, he will probably not be successful using skills for which you have not bought any ranks.
And there are also skill types. Skills come in 3 varieties: class skills, cross-class skills, and exclusive skills. Class skills fall within the expertise and training of your class. Each skill point spent on a class skill adds 1 rank. The maximum rank in any class skill is your level plus 3. For example, open lock is a class skill for rogues because such covert activities are one of their specialties. And we'll get into more of these when we get into our detailed discussions later.
And there's also the cross-class skills. A cross-class skill falls outside what members of your character's class can normally master. Each rank in a cross-class skill costs 2 skill points. The maximum rank in any cross-class skill is equal to character level plus 3 divided by 2, or half that of a class skill. For example, open lock is a cross-class skill for clerics who have little reason to master this activity. You know, cross-class skills is almost a tongue twister, if you say that several times in a row. That's all.
Say that fast 5 times. Whew. Some class skills are exclusive to a given class, and so therefore they're called exclusive skills, and can only be learned by its members. The only exclusive skills in Neverwinter Nights 2 are perform for bards only, and use magic device for bards, rogues, and assassins only. So when in doubt, never advance in a cross-class skill. Instead, seek out companions who have the skill you want as a class skill. For example, if you are a fighter, you should find a rogue who can disable traps instead of trying to learn that yourself. So is that the mistake I made because I started out as a I wanted to be a sorcerer, but I also wanted to have some rogue skills. So I started out as a sorcerer, did a couple of levels, and then I cross-classed and leveled up into a rogue a couple of times just so I would have some of those skills. So did I not do that? I guess I did that incorrectly.
From what we read here, I would kind of guess so, that you'd want to keep your levels, if you're multiclassing, you would want to keep your levels closer, it sounds like, so that if you get a level 2 and a level 3 dual class, you'd want to keep leveling one and then the other and one and the other, so keep them close.
If you really want to excel at a cross-class skill, to consider the able learner feat. Oh, that's a nice tip to know there. Kind of wish I'd have known that when I started playing a long time ago. But, you know, used to be a programmer, so I never read the manuals.
This is the first time I've read the manual, so I don't know. Who else is? Everyone's laughing at us, I'm sure, like, those dummies.
Stupid idiots. Anyway, well, that concludes our...
part two.
Part two of our D&D concepts. So next time we'll get into feats.
And leveling?
F-E-A-T-S, not just like smelly feet.
It's like we're doing feats, leveling, and combat skills. If you are a cleric, druid, sorcerer, or wizard, it is highly desirable to have at least 16 in your primary spellcasting ability score. You will eventually need to raise this score to at least 19 to cast your most powerful spells. Bards and warlocks should have high charisma, but this is not as great a necessity for these classes. A paladin or ranger should have a wisdom of at least 12. We got some listener feedback from this week. We got some feedback from Dan. Said there's a lot of noise of people chattering constantly in the background of the podcast on the fourth podcast, and we had experimented with that as a background noise. And the concept was that we were wanting the show to sound like more like we were in a tavern in game somewhere. But as you guys pointed out, and we learned and listened to it again, and it just not working. So if you got the fourth podcast, episode 4, with that on there, we have remastered episode 4 without that. And you may have to unsubscribe and resubscribe if you're using iTunes. I'm not sure about any of the other podcasters. If you can just refresh them and they'll download the new episode. If it doesn't, you can either download it directly from the site, or you can unsubscribe and delete them and resubscribe and pull them down. I'm also reworked episode 1 and updated it with the better audio quality than what it was before.
And did you get the Sound Monkeys to do that?
The Sound Monkeys?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Sound Monkeys. I will be working on episodes 2 and 3 this coming week, so we got the hang of the software, so we're making better progress at it and getting better every time. So I'm going to go back and remaster those just so they can be better. And episode 3 also had the ambient noises in it, and they'll be gone the next time.
Yeah, River King also piped in on our forums and said, yeah, the background chatter is really annoying.
I sit down and listen to the whole thing without it when I was producing it, and then just slapped it in there and posted it and listened to it again. About the time I got the end of it, it was annoying me too, so...
I do like what Dan said at the end of his email. May your podcast continue to Neverwinter Nights 3 and beyond.
Yeah, me too. I'm hoping that.
So, we have some people out there who are liking our podcast so far. It's good.
I thought it was really funny also what B. Nielsen said on he was replying to our Thanksgiving podcast. He said, okay, holiday break's over. Where's my favorite podcast?
What did he say? Holiday breaks over?
Yeah, holiday breaks over. Well, because we were a little bit late getting episode 4 out because we had an issue with the audio quality. And it took a little bit longer to get the show edited than normal because of that. And we've already got impatient listeners, so that's good.
Hey. So what's the latest on the audio issues, Jay?
Well, it's still an open issue with Odeo. We're still working with their support. We are not able to get any audio messages that were sent to us previous to them making their site change. But you and I have run a couple of tests, and we have found that any new audio messages that are sent to us, we can retrieve. So if you've been holding back on doing your mod spotlight or sending us an audio question or just whatever you want to comment and you wanted to do it in audio format, you can do that now. And we would love it to hear you guys give us your questions so that we can play your comments and your questions in your own words, and then we can address them in the podcast. So
somebody do that. We haven't gotten one yet.
Yeah, we haven't got very many of them. We've got the mod spotlights, some of them through there, and that's worked out really well for those, but I'd love to see some more audio comments coming through there. Actually,
come on.
I've got one I'd like you guys to send me. I would like to know, for Neverwinter Nights 1 or Neverwinter Nights 2, if there are any good Christmas mods out there. Since we're in the Christmas season, let's go whole hog with it. I would love to see some people tell me some what they think of what their favorite Christmas mods are, or if there are any really good ones out there. And I wouldn't be even opposed to us trying to crank one up on a server here and having a Christmas event for Neverwinter
Nights. Did you just say whole hog?
I said whole hog. Hey, we're in the Razorback country now, buddy.
Woo pig. There are some of them out there going, like those guys up in Canada, they're probably going, what the crap is Woo Pig mean?
Well, it goes to the University of Arkansas website, and you can learn all about Woo Pig, or YouTube and look for Bubba Hog.
Okay, so thanks for listening, and
this is not necessarily Neverwinter Nights related, but it is MMO and RPG related. If you guys don't watch this, and I don't usually watch South Park because of my... it offends me sometimes. It offends my intellect, but sometimes it's pretty damn funny. They did an episode that they released on December 1st, and you can actually go search it on YouTube, that they did a bunch of in-game video for World of Warcraft. And I was dying laughing watching the whole thing. It's like
They did their South Park episode in World of Warcraft.
Yes, it was. Some of it was in-game video, and it was.
I thought it was
funny.
All in-game. Oh, that's right. They switched back and forth.
Yeah, it switches back from the animation to the actual in-game stuff. And we listened to the PC Gamer podcast, and they were also talking about it, and that's kind of how we found out about it. So if you want a just general good general gaming podcast, I highly recommend PC Podcast. It's a really good one. But they were talking about it, and I said, I don't watch South Park, but I've got to go see this just because...
You mean PC Gamer
PC
Magazine?
Magazine. Well, they did the PC
podcast.
Gamer Podcast, yeah.
You just said PC Podcast, so...
Sorry, PC Gamer Podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
So, I just wanted to mention that, even though it's not Neverwinter Nights related, it is hilarious if you need a good laugh for a 30-minute show. It's funny.
Okay, so thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com or send us an Odeo by clicking on the Send Me an Odeo link on our website.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper map by clicking the Frapper logo. It's over on the right-hand side. Trey covered some of the shout-outs we had last week from people that already pinned their name.
And that's the only ones we've gotten.
And that's the only ones we've gotten so far. But
we have six. It was amazing to find out there's people around the world listening to us. So join us next week, and we'll continue our trip to the NWN manual as our main topic.